Hi, everyone. I am here with my husband, Rich. For the first time, he's on a podcast.
This ought to be an adventure, folks.
So we're going to be teaching the first lesson on your spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare all the time. And so we're here today to start on lesson one. So in the description of this podcast and even in the transcript, you will be able to find a link, and that link will lead you to the materials that you're going to need that's already provided for you here. All you have to do is look at the screen, or you can print them out or put them on your computer. So you go to that link, and the first page and the second page, they're entitled We're in a Spiritual Battle, Lesson 1. Outline. So that will outline, and you can go through that outline as I'm reading the book to you, the chapter to you. And then on your third page, it has discipleship questions. And so you'll need those as we'll go through after the reading, and we'll go through each one of these questions. And then page 4 is about scriptures. And you will use the first, the second, and the fourth to go through your week and, you know, read your scriptures over, go back over your notes and the outline of this study, and just use them throughout the week. And then page 3 is the questions, the discipleship questions that we're going over. And so you will have those, and you'll be able to study this whole thing again. And you can listen to this as many times as you wish to, and also come back to it another time in your life. Also share it with other people, because it is so good. It is just, it really gets your mind to thinking. And as we get further and further into the study, you're going to love it even more. The first thing on our agenda today is to read the actual reading of our first lesson in We're in a Spiritual Battle. Remember, this is the book called The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church by Andrew Womack. So here we go. Let's take in all of the good stuff. Lesson 1 is entitled, We're in a Spiritual Battle, and we're reading in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Andrew goes on to say, God's word reveals that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but demonic powers. Our fight isn't against people, but the spiritual forces influencing them. However, most of us simply don't recognize the role the spirit realm plays in our daily lives. We think it's human. We think it's just natural. But the devil is busy influencing people each and every day. It's useless to debate whether or not an individual is possessed, oppressed, or simply depressed. When the New Testament calls someone demon-possessed, the Greek word literally means demonized. They are under the influence and therefore control of the devil. This issue people make about whether someone is possessed, oppressed, or just depressed isn't in Scripture. The truth is that people all around the world today are being influenced, controlled, and used to whatever degree by the devil. So let's get the proper perspective here, okay? Many Westerners honestly believe that all demons are all over in some third world country. But anyone who is spiritually perspective knows that there is an abundance of demonic activity anywhere you go in the world, including the West. We just tend to look at things as being normal and natural. We miss the fact that the origin of many things that happened in our day, things that tick us off and come up against us, it's spiritual. We fail to recognize the spiritual influence behind it. However, if you were to adopt the biblical mindset, it might make a huge difference in the way that you respond, the way that you choose to respond. Things that come to mind all of a sudden, you've learned these things, so then you're able to just automatically say, this is what I know I need to do. You'd recognize that it's not the person who sits next to you at work. It's not your neighbor, it's not your spouse, or your circumstances that are really, it's what's coming up against you. They can be influenced, inspired, and used by Satan too, but they really aren't the source. When you genuinely understand that this isn't a physical battle, it changes the way that you respond. I get a lot of hate mail, Andrew says, and criticism because of the things that I say. There was a time when I took these things personally and I thought, why is this individual so upset with me? I just looked at it and I always try to deal with them on the human level. Since then, I've come to recognize that Satan is the one who's trying to get my attention off of what God has told me to do. I just recognize that the enemy is using some person to come up against me. He's just trying to gain an inroad into my life. And so he can steal God's word from me. According to Mark chapter 4, verse 17. But because I look beyond the individual and I don't take it personally, I am able to put things into proper perspective and deal with it differently. I've actually had some good friends come against me. Even though they did some pretty mean things, I have been able to look past that and forgive them. I recognize that they have a sensitivity in some area that Satan took advantage of and used them against me. I haven't been angry or bitter towards them because I understood what the devil was trying to do. Since then, they've turned around and they've realized what has happened. We've been able to completely reestablish our friendship because I recognize that it wasn't just those people, but Satan trying to get at me. Did you know Satan uses people? That's our next topic. Jesus exemplified this same perspective. He recognized when the devil was trying to get him through a person. After Peter, under the influence of God, confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. The Lord started explaining to his disciples about his soon coming crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Immediately, Peter began to rebuke him, saying in Matthew 16, verse 22, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Apparently, Peter had missed Jesus' statement that he would rise again on the third day. Peter didn't even want to consider the thought of his beloved Lord being taken and killed. This was the same man who just moments before had been inspired and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Yet now, Jesus, he says, he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the thing that be of God, but those that be of men." Matthew 16, 23. The Lord recognized that Satan was speaking through Peter. That wasn't something coming from God. Jesus knew it was inconsistent with what the Father had clearly revealed to him of his will. So even though Peter had just spoken forth a glorious revelation of the Holy Spirit, Christ knew that the inspiration for Peter's rebuke of him was from hell. There are times when the devil speaks to you through people. He'll use people to get at you.
Of course, they might be unaware of the fact that they're being used by Satan. Peter was probably shocked, hurt, and offended when Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." However, there are times when you need to rebuke the devil that way too. You know, Peter, he thought, you know, he's just saying this for the sake of the love he has for his Lord, and he doesn't want anything bad to happen, so he thinks he's doing the right thing. And then God had to rebuke him. Yeah, I think I would have felt a lot of those things that Peter felt too. Now we're talking about whose voice is it? Now, don't misunderstand me and go around blasting people. I'm not saying you should rebuke everyone who disagrees with you, declaring, "You are of the devil. Satan is using you in my life." That's not what I'm trying to get across. You just need to recognize that Satan, as well as God, can speak through and use the people in your life. Like Jesus, you need to discern whose voice it's coming from. And that can sometimes be a tough one, but the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to be able to discern whose voice it is. So don't feel discouraged there. You'll get there if you haven't already. More than 30 years ago, my mother wanted to take my wife, my oldest son, who was one at the time, and I to the Smoky Mountains. This was back during our poverty days. So if none of you have listened to Andrew before this point, they were pretty poor in the beginning years of their marriage. I mean, they went for days and days without eating, you know, and they were totally focused on the ministry. And he didn't understand at the time that it was okay for him to go get another job. He didn't just have to focus on the ministry starting up. He could have went out and got a job, but you know, he was young and he lived and he learned. So when he talks about these poverty days, I just wanted to give you a little bit of insight in case you didn't know. Anyway, we'll say again, this was back during our poverty days. Jamie and I were struggling financially, but since Mother offered to pay for everything on this trip, we decided to go. At that time, my mother had just started believing God for healing. Since, she hadn't seen the manifestation yet in the specific areas that she had been believing for. Basically, she had suffered a defeat. So she was frustrated and, you know, lots of emotions going on. And due to this, my mother was on the bubble about whether this healing stuff really worked or not. Since then, she's turned around and she's received great healing. But this was back in the day, back in the beginning of their ministry, when Mother still thought that I was somewhere on some fringe of lunacy. As we began our trip, Mother was nursing a little bit of a cold. She started saying negative things about my son, like, "Keep him away from me or he'll catch this cold." And I'd answer, "No, Mother, he's not going to catch this cold." And then she'd complain about the money thing because she was kind of aggravated because of what he said to her back and, you know, how things just start to build and stuff like that. So then she started complaining about other things and saying, "Well, I really shouldn't have took this trip. I don't really have the money to do it." She'd respond that way. And, you know, finally, I just had to say something. So I just told her, "Hey, Mother, we have Zippo. Zilch, nada. If you don't have the money to take this trip, we need to go home now because I can't help you." So she responded, "Oh no, I've got plenty of money." Mother was just in a negative mindset, which made it a bad situation. During the hot summer day, my son sat right in front of the air conditioner. Since I understood that we can have what we say, according to Mark 11:23, it really bothered me when she said things like, "Don't put him there, he'll catch a cold." I'll have to counter that with, "No, he's not going to catch a cold. It's like you're having to rebuke it, you know? You're having to unsay what she said, you know? You're having to get it out of there because you don't want him to get this cold. So, the next topic here is entitled, Shut Up. All this griping and complaining was really out of character for my mother. She's a super lady and is really usually very positive, but she was just stuck in this negative mindset. She was stuck in all this doubt and unbelief all day long. It was a constant battle back and forth to counter what was being said, since that was my mother. I tried to be as polite as I could and kind to her as I possibly could. The very next night of the trip, we all stayed in the hotel room together. Our son was sleeping in a little crib. Around 11 o'clock, he woke up with this croup in his throat that you could have heard in the next room. It was loud and he could hardly breathe. So I got up and I prayed in tongues. I rebuked that croup and I released my faith. He went back to sleep and everything was fine. 30 minutes later, the same thing happened. I got up, I prayed over him, and he went back to sleep. Every 30 minutes, I was up and down like a yo-yo, praying over my son and trying to get him back to sleep. Finally, about 3 o'clock in the morning, one of my trips back to the bed, my mother said, "Admit it, Andy, he's sick." I got right down there. I stuck my finger in her face and said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up. I will not receive any of your criticism or any of your curses. My son is blessed and he's not cursed." Then I started speaking the word. Mother never said another word over our son. Our son never got up again that night. He was just fine. But mother didn't say anything for 2 whole days. And we were together all the time in a car on vacation. Finally, when she did speak, she cried, "Well, I'm sorry that you think that I am the devil," and started into this self-pity party. I said, "Mother, you know enough to know better. I've told you the word of God. You knew that stuff you were saying was exactly the opposite of the word. You just given yourself over to Satan. I am not mad at you. I am just standing against the devil. He was trying to steal my faith for healing." To this day, Mother continues to be one of my very best friends. She's over 95 years old and enjoys the blessings of good health. My approach that night, it was pretty strong, but I knew Satan was behind it and trying to steal my faith. You can certainly take a stand against what people say with more tact than I displayed back then. I was young and in the Lord, and that's just the way that I responded. But the principle applies regardless of how you administer it. The next section is entitled, Stretch to the Max. We are in a spiritual battle. However, most of the time, people don't recognize it. They're just looking at things from a natural human perspective. They factor God, the devil, and the whole supernatural realm right out of the equation. The average person doesn't realize the spiritual dynamics taking place. God doesn't send bad things our way. I'm going to repeat that. God doesn't send bad things our way. It's not just happenstance or fate. There's a real enemy out there that we must learn to deal with. There's your answer to all things. God doesn't do these things to you. It is His will to heal you. It is His will that you prosper. It's not Him. Don't blame Him. The first time I tried to produce a book was about 20 years ago. It was my Life for Today study Bible and commentary. the Gospels edition, which is almost 600 pages long. This was going to be a major expense. At the time, my ministry income was so low that to come up with $50,000 to print a book was 2 or 3 months' worth of income for me. This project was really stretching me to the max. A number of different publishers came and offered to help us with the project. One offered to reduce our cost to just $27,000 if we could pay right away. They said, "We're in a bind and we need the money. If you pay right away, we'll give you this discount." So I went to my partners and we raised the money, more than a month's worth of income at the time, and I gave it to them. This was a major deal for us. However, within a month, I learned that the salesman had ran off with our money. In fact, he'd burned several well-known other preachers at the same time. I remembered when I heard this news. My employee said, "The salesman just took our $27,000. We're going to have to come up with an additional $45,000 just in the next week or so to be able to make this project work. Altogether, we're looking at $70,000. Next section is titled Sevenfold. My first reaction was one of shock. Is this really true? Then came a twinge of wanting to beat the snot out of that salesman. But I recognized who the real culprit was. Who do you think? Satan. Satan had come up against me and was trying to steal from me and using this person to do so. In Proverbs 6:31, it came to mind, and it says, "But if," and I put, "a thief, then be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house." I recognized that this wasn't just a person trying to steal from me. Obviously, there were demonic entities working behind the scenes. So, within seconds of getting this news, I recognized that this was the devil stealing from me, and I've caught him. Therefore, according to the word of God, I demanded back 7 times. Immediately, I took a piece of paper and I figured out 7 times 70,000. Instead of being angry, depressed, and hurt, I started dancing and praising and saying, "Hallelujah, this is awesome. I'm getting $490,000 back this year." As I continued praising God, that situation never did get me down or discouraged. When the year was over, we had an increase nearly to the penny of $490,000, exactly 7 times the amount of money that was taken from us. That was back during a period of time when our entire income was only about $5,000 a year. We nearly doubled our income that year. What could have been a tragic scenario turned into a positive situation because I recognize that I'm not fighting flesh and blood. I'm fighting a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons against spiritual enemies. I realized that Satan was trying to come against me, and then I acted on the word. So our last section in this lesson reading is entitled, Who's Influencing Whom? I've actually loaned people money before who have never paid me back. They said they would, but for whatever reason, they didn't. Instead of taking an offense and getting mad at the person, I recognized that this was Satan. Of course, the person cooperated in some measure and allowed him to do it. But I recognize that the devil is trying to get me into unforgiveness. So I just forgave them. It's as simple as that. I've actually given money to people who at one time said they would pay me back. My attitude was, "Hey, it's just a gift. Just take it as a gift. I'm not going to harbor any animosity over this. It's not worth it." You might think, man, I'd never do something like that. But I recognize that there is a spiritual battle raging, and nobody is going to rent space in my mind. What about yours? Nobody is going to occupy my heart except God. How about yours? I refuse to harbor unforgiveness towards anyone. I will not allow bitterness, even a toehold, in my life. I'm aware that Satan uses such things as an inroad against me. So, like it or not, there's a spiritual battle raging right now for your heart and your mind. What you think in your heart is the way that you will be. Remember that. Proverbs 23:7. Your thoughts become what you say and you do, with your actions being the greatest expression of your authority. Therefore, you'll be influenced, dominated, and ruled by whomever you yield yourself to, God or Satan. And that's according to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And that's the reading of this lesson. Now let's move on to, I hope that you were looking with your lesson outline and you could make notes there. You can always send us your questions. You can also email me at diana@firebase27.com. I'll have all that in the description, in the transcript, the description of this podcast, particular one. So you have your outline, and you also have, we're going to do the discipleship questions. And you also have your scriptures, and I'm not going to sit here and take up your time reading them. I'm going to let you read them on your own, but you have that sheet as well. So now we're going to move on, and Rich is going to do our questions and answers, and I'll read you the Bible scripture that goes with it.
According to Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, who are we to be strong in? Ephesians, one of my favorite books, it makes you a warrior, but you need to be strong in the Lord at this time.
The Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So again, his question was, who are we to be strong in? The answer is?
The Lord.
Yep. Okay, question number two.
What are we to put on?
I said it in the scripture there.
It's in the scripture. You put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
Because that is your protection.
Okay. Then we're going to move on to question three?
Three.
Okay, wait.
Question number three, according to Mark 4:17, what rises from the word's sake and immediately causes people to be offended?
It is in Mark 4:17 in the King James Version. It says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
The answer is affliction and persecution.
Yep.
And because they're guilty of doing something that is not following God.
Okay. And then you want to move on?
Yep. Number four. The word only endures for a time because they had no...
blank.
Blank. In themselves.
So.
And there's no scripture, but it what it means is they're no root. They had no roots in the belief of Christ in order to protect themselves and to continue to learn. Your roots have to be in Christ.
Okay, for the next one, it is Matthew 16:16, and it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Who is speaking in Matthew 16:16? It's Simon Peter, because him and Christ are having an off-to-the-side discussion, because Simon Peter don't understand the parable that Christ is trying to teach him. So read a verse or two before and a verse or two after, and you'll be able to really understand this concept.
Okay, the next question is from Matthew 16:22-23. It says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men."
According to Matthew 16:22-23, who did Simon Peter begin to rebuke? He began to rebuke the Lord, because Satan was speaking through Simon Peter, trying to get Jesus to change what the Father had already told him was going to happen. Now, the next question is, well, and it pertains to what we just read. While speaking to Peter, whom was the Lord really addressing? He was addressing Satan. He's telling Satan, get out of his way. He had no right to be there, so he banished him from that moment on.
Okay, and so our next question.
And our next question, according to Mark 11:23, what are we to speak to?
Okay, let me read you the scripture for it. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith."
And the correct answer is the mountain.
What was the question? Repeat it again.
The question was, according to Mark 11:23, what are we to speak to? You speak to the mountain, and the mountain could be anything that concerns you, bothers you.
It's a problem.
A problem. Just life in general brings those mountains in front of us. So we're supposed to throw them into the sea where they'll sink and never come back. And it goes on into, what shall we have? It is whatever we say we have. So if you have Christ in your heart, you speak Christ to people around you, they'll know you have Jesus in your heart. And that's where you need to be.
Our next scripture is found in Proverbs 6:31, and it says, "But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house."
According to Proverbs 6:31, how much shall a thief who is found be required to restore? Sevenfold.
Yeah, and it says all. He shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
So if they took $7 from you, you're going to get $49 back.
That's how it works.
And that's just how it works. That's 7 times 7 is sold.
So the next scripture is found in Proverbs 23:7, and it reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee."
According to Proverbs 23:7, we are as we think where? The heart. When you read the Bible, you need to read the Bible with your heart, not only your eyes and your mind and your subconscious, but you got to put your heart into it, because that's how Jesus come into your life, is through your heart.
Okay, the next scripture can be found in Romans 6:16. It reads, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?"
Romans 6:16 reveals that we are to whom we yield. We are servants. I mean, you're going to have family, but sometimes the servitude is an addiction, a job where you're not spending enough time with God to help you get through the problems you're having with all that you're being a servant to. Because we're only supposed to serve one God. And that's all. I'm on number 13. What does yielding to sin manifest in our lives? Death. Because if we don't rebuke the sin in our life and send Satan marching, it's eventually going to take you to death. And you don't get to come back from death. And you don't get to go to heaven like that. What does yielding to obedience manifest in our lives? Righteousness. When we become right with God, we become one in the Lord, and we speak His voice as He speaks to us.
Well, this last summer, the two of us, Rich and I, we went to Karis Bible College up in Woodland Park, Colorado. Andrew Womack Ministries is there, and we were so amazed. It was such a great time, and you've heard me talk a little bit about it already, but I wanted to give Rich an opportunity to share from his perspective, you know, what he felt about the conference, how he felt about being there. Was he excited, you know, to go, and reasons also why he was excited to go. So I'm going to let him share that with you.
Well, it was a magnificent time. It was totally, totally a blessing. The Bible is our rule book, but it's also our book full of learning, healing. I didn't realize how much healing was already prophesied in the Bible that we don't even have to carry that sickness with us. And it was so amazing, all the different speakers and the literature that we were able to obtain and the people we got to listen to and the healing we got seeing. It just, it's hard to describe because you're full. You're so full of emotion that it just makes you want to just stay there and just eat it up, meet it up. But we know we have to go out into the world because we still have everyday life. But we got to share this with as many people as we can. Andrew Womack's got a huge, beautiful ministry up there. Great compound. We plan on going to some more of his
conferences.
Yeah. In the future. We're going to try to go at least two, maybe three times a year. And it's not that hard to do, but the blessing, just a blessing. Some of the stuff and some of the books that Karis has put out and that Andrew's put out, they are so much full of information, and it's hard to not declare and decree that it's just God sent this man to build this college so people could have the everlasting life. And this is, he's not Jesus, but it almost like he prepares people like Jesus was doing for the disciples to go out and preach the gospel, share the world.
That's what we're all supposed to do. You know, that's a part of discipleship. So we're all supposed to do that. And Andrew has over 200,000 hours of teaching. But just being there was a simple, it wasn't hard, you know, to get around. It was easy to park. You know, there were, everybody was so nice and fun. The parking attendants were dancing as they would direct the traffic. And it was just a lot of fun.
The whole trip was just a wonderful trip. When we left our home in Midland, headed up there, and we were going to spend the night close to some friends in Walsenburg, Colorado. But it was just, everything went like clockwork. It was so smooth. Well, and it was just a blessing, that trip going up there.
We kept seeing all these signs of crosses and then signs that said, thank God. And, you know, just these different kinds of writings and sayings about God. It was as if we had our own specific road signs to lead us there, which made us realize it truly was a God thing.
Yeah,
for us to be there and all. But, you know, tell them a little bit about when we read this book, The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. When we started reading it like a chapter or two a night, you know, and what we were thinking and feeling as we went through it.
Yeah. Well, she did all the reading. I did all the listening. Mm-hmm. But no, it was that's where I really began to realize, and I've got a whole list of healing scriptures, but the way this was put on, when we accept Christ, when Christ died on the cross, when he took his very last breath, any believer automatically had the authority to cast out any sickness, any kind of attacks from Satan, cast them aside, because you not only have the authority, but you just got to tell it to go and go away and not come back. And it's a daily thing. You have to minister to yourself on a daily basis. And that means getting in the Word, praying, you know.
Well, it's like the first thing you should do in the morning is worship. So I have my device. I don't want to say her name because she'll start talking. But you know what I mean, and it starts with an A. I will tell her in the mornings in my bathroom. I have one of those devices. And so I tell her in the morning, you know, to play a specific praise and worship song list that I have, or just to tell her a certain song. Because a lot of times I wake up and I have songs already in my head that God wants me to listen to. So I'll tell her that. So you've got to get up in the morning and start praising, even if you feel terrible. And the more you pray and the more you read your scriptures, the better you're going to feel throughout the day. It just changes. You know, I have one saying on my wall that says, pray until the pain stops. And I know that it works. You know, you just keep communing with God, you know, just having that communication and talking to him all the time like that. And it does start to go away, you know.
And it does. I mean, I'm out and about early in the mornings. I have a lawn service I take care of and some other stuff. And my morning starts with, you know what, I'm going to get hooked up the trailer, get all my stuff together, and I'll get in a pickup, and I just start praying. I start praying in tongues. I start praying. I start thanking Jesus for just being able to get up, even on the days where I don't feel good and don't feel like doing this, you know, maybe because I hurt or maybe because I just don't feel good. But you know what? We get through it. By the end of the day, I could go another day right then.
Yeah.
It's just a blessing.
It's these things that we're going to be sharing with you all, it's going to be a lot. But I want you to know that we both experience the same things. We are working through learning the things in this book as well, even though we've read it before. We were like, right when we finished reading it, we're like, this is so awesome. We kept saying, wow, I didn't think of it that way. And we said, we're going to read this again. We weren't even halfway through it. And we're like, when we get done reading this, we're going to read it again. And then we discovered that they had the book study to go with it. And then we thought, this is too good not to share with you all. And so we'll get better as we go. This was our first podcast together, and I'm excited to see how it changes over time. There are 26 lessons, so you have 25 more to go. But they won't be as lengthy probably as this one, because we wanted to introduce Rich, and we wanted to just introduce you to why we really believe in this, and that we're using it too, and that we're working through it. And we just know that God wanted us to share this with all of you. And you just take it and use it to your advantage. You can come back and listen over and over. Be sure to print out the materials and stuff, and we'll be back. What's our next one entitled? Let's see. Lesson 2 is entitled, Whom He May Devour. And I want you to remember that the things you learned this week, keep practicing them throughout your day, and know that God, you know, sent His Son on the cross to die for us, not only for all of our sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but also for our healings, also for our prosperity, things that we need in this life. He went to the cross and died for those things for us. So we're already the victors. But the thing is we have to do our part. He's not sitting up there doing all the work, because He already did the work.
It's already been done. It's ours to receive, and it's ours to work in. And when we have problems, every answer is in the Bible. You've got to seek it out. You've got to pray. You've got to ask Him, where do I find this, Lord? You know, and just keep asking Him questions. And you're going to see the marvelous things that He does in your life because you are committed in that way. You have your focus on Him and not all of your problems, your mountains. You know, you've got to focus on getting Him out of here and knowing that when He died and He went onto heaven after that, He told His disciples, you know, you will be able to do even greater works than me. But you don't see that very much in this world. And the thing is why not? It's because people have a lot of these things that you didn't learn in church that you were told by religion happens and it hadn't happened. And so you have to realize He wrote those things for a reason. He wrote those things so that we would use these things today. We would know that His power does live within us when we accept Him as our Lord, you know, our Christ and all. And so when we do that, you know, we have that power then living in us and we can use it. And this book is going to help make us all stronger in the way that we are supposed to because it is entitled The Believer's Authority. We're going to learn about the authority that was given to us that we've never really talked about. So, it's going to get better and better as you go on. And then you guys are going to want to read it again too, but it'll be here for you as well.
Yeah. And don't feel bad if you have to go back and read a Bible verse or if you have to go back and read a part of this material, because sometimes God's speaking to you, hey, you missed the point here. Go back and reread it. I do it more than once because if I read two or three verses and I don't understand it, I'll go back and read the whole chapter so I can get the layout of what actually is being said, what's trying to be taught, because you can miss it. And sometimes looking for the healing that you're looking for, you may have to read it two or three times. Like I said, one of my favorite books is Ephesians, and because it is so much full of what we need for our own protection, health-wise, physically, body, your mind, but you got to protect your heart. Your heart is the most important thing. You have to have a heart for Christ and a love for Christ.
And this just, it isn't just about healing. It's about our entire lives and how we should live our lives. And so there'll be areas that really touch you and you want to know more about than other areas maybe. But overall, it's such a great study. And so we're excited to be able to share that with you. And we look forward to being here with you next time. Right?
Have a good evening. Be blessed.
Have a great week. Oh, and don't forget, we love you. We're praying for you. We hope you have a great week. We hope you can apply some of these things to your lives and begin to invest yourself in the Word and God's plan that He has for your life.